This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your Son calls us to be at peace with one another. And so, as we celebrate St. Francis today, may you make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, help us to show your love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, true faith in you. Amen. Good morning. So, go straight to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And cut off your hands, chop off your legs, gouge out your eyes. This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tough words today, huh? Really tough language Jesus uses. I think he means business today. And I think as we look into what's going on in this section of Mark's gospel and understand where the disciples are not in their journey as disciples, we will understand a little bit more as to why Jesus would give us this tough language that he doesn't mean literally, but he makes a point so that we'll understand that he's serious. To help me to understand these words, I go back to my childhood. And maybe you as a child or as a parent can relate to this. I grew up in a family with 7 kids. We didn't have a lot of money. But every Sunday was a special occasion because without fail, on Sunday afternoon, the parents piled us into the station wagon and off we went. And we knew that at the end of that jaunt, there was always something special for us. Sometimes it included a miniature golf game at Putt-Putt. But if it didn't do that, we knew that we were all going to end up somewhere to have a wonderful hamburger and fries and a milkshake. And with a family of 7, we didn't go out very often. So this was special. But my parents had this thing that we always started by going to look at houses. Now, my mom and dad had no intention of buying a new house. But there was something about this that every Sunday we went and looked at display homes. But we hung in there because we knew what was coming afterwards. But it didn't mean that we weren't the normal human brothers and sisters impatiently dealing with this first half of the afternoon. And there was always this thing where one person would say, "See that line? Don't you dare cross it." Or someone would start poking another one. "Mom, he's poking me." Or if you did cross the line, "Dad, he keeps hitting me." Now, there were 3 words that would come from the front seat to the back seat. And if it was my mother, the 3 words were, "Cut it out." If it was my father, there were 3 words, but it was a little bit more vociferous, and he would say, "Knock it off." 3 words. Jesus talks about cutting it out. He talks about knocking it off. He's trying to get them to understand that there is no way that they're going to move forward on their journey if they can't just let those things go and move on to what's more important. It's those things in our lives that unless we are willing to let it go and cut it out, knock it off, we're never going to get to where Jesus wants us to be. You remember the video we watched a year or so ago with Bob Newhart as the psychoanalyst, and the lady's got all the problems, and he says, "I got great advice for you. Now I want you to write this down." And what are the 2 words he says? "Stop it." It's the same thing here. These disciples are not getting it. Some time ago, I preached a sermon on the end of John's gospel where Peter is with Jesus. And you remember the story? Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I love you." Jesus asks the question again. He asks it a third time. And Jesus has Peter respond each time, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." You remember all that. And it's like the threefold saying, "I love you," is what negates the threefold denial that Peter had done before the crucifixion. And after that third time, we expect Peter and Jesus to walk off arm in arm together, happily ever after, but that doesn't happen. Peter turns around and says to the beloved disciple, "Well, what about him?" Peter still has this envy. Peter still has this idea that I'm the greatest. And Jesus has, again, to put him in his place. And Peter, as if John is trying to tell us in his gospel, that Peter is always going to be dealing with this. Well, today, it's turned around. Because it is the beloved disciple, it is John, who has this same issue. "Jesus, we saw this guy, and he was casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him." Why? Well, because he's getting the credit and the popularity for this, and I'm not. John's got the same issue. Remember, just a chapter ago, they're walking along and arguing about who's the greatest. They still don't get it. They still are dealing with these issues that Jesus says, just cut it out. Because until you do, you are not going to be able to become whom I want you to be and whom you really are now if you let go of all of this. That's what it's about. So we go into this description of these different things that Jesus talks about, and perhaps there's some metaphor for us in these ideas of legs and hands and eyes. I mean, we use our legs to walk. Perhaps it becomes a metaphor for us of where we are going and how we intend to get there. You know, your feet, metaphorically, are about the goals in our life, the path we are walking. Do we find in our life that we're running away or running toward those goals? And as we are walking, are we leading the pack in the right way in our different settings of our life? Or are we tending to follow a pack that isn't necessarily going in the right direction? Am I stumbling with my feet because I'm not paying attention to the right things? Do I step on people with my feet to get where I want to be? Or maybe as I walk, I'm completely lost, maybe going the wrong way. Our hands, a metaphor for action. Do I put this hand out and lend this hand when somebody else needs it? Or do I use it to push people away metaphorically because I don't want to get close? I've been hurt before. Or because we don't want to deal with the messiness of intimacy in our lives? Or do I use that hand to make a fist because I'm clenching on to something that I am just unwilling to let go of? And I clench that fist so hard that I just want to punch through something. And does that clenched fist lead us to harsh or mean words or even harsh actions towards others? Do I use those hands to join with people as I go forward to reach my goals? Or do I keep those hands behind my back because I'm going to do it myself? Jesus talks about our eyes. Eyes, the metaphor for seeing, our vision, our understanding, our ideas. Do I just close those eyes because I don't want to deal with the suffering that's going on inside of me or even in those I love around me? Am I tempted to use those eyes to look beyond the person I'm talking with because I want to see the more interesting person who might be coming in the door behind them? Do I roll those eyes when certain people engage me in conversation? Here we go again. Do I refuse to make eye contact with people in my life because I don't want to deal with the issues? Am I wearing blinders on those eyes because I want to see it only my way? There are things we need to look at. It might not be envy, but we all have those areas in our life where perhaps Jesus wants to tell us to cut it out. Not just in a negative way, but because we're missing the fullness of our life that he wants us to have. This is not a God who wants us to beat ourselves up. It's a God who is doing all he can so that we'll become in the fullness of what he wants us to experience in this life, to be fully alive. T.S. Eliot, great author, poet, playwright, wrote Murder in the Cathedral. He tells the story of the aftermath of the murder of who became St. Thomas More in Canterbury Cathedral. And in one section of that early part of the play, he talks about the fact that we are either living or more often partly living. In terms of this gospel, it's partly living when we are still doing that envy thing or doing that thing that prevents us from becoming all that God would want us to be. Listen to this, written by Donald Evans. Participation in life's energies feels like sailing or white water canoeing or body surfing or gliding. During a day of open participation, it is as if wild waves of water invade and invigorate and impel us in all that we think or do or feel. Alert and sensitive to the broad ebb and flow of forces that surround us, in tune with the elements, we steer a course of our own, empowered by forces beyond ourselves. We enthusiastically expend and expand ourselves, receptively relaxed and actively involved, eagerly taking in, exuberantly giving out. We rejoice in life. This is why Jesus says, cut it out, because that's what we're missing when we let those things become the stumbling blocks. He talks about being salt. I don't think they had a knowledge of chemistry back then, but we all know that salt is composed of sodium and chloride. And either one of those things by themselves is a poison. What Jesus wants us to do is get beyond the poison and put things together so that we can be the salt, that we can be enhanced, that we can be the flavor. Not only for ourselves, but for others as well. There's this whole thing going on, you know, with this whole idea of this thing in the football world. It was on the national news, replacement refs. Well, maybe we're too much living like replacement Christians. Maybe we need to get back to what Jesus calls us to be. To let go of all that stuff so that we can truly be salt for the earth. I want to end today with a poem written by a short poem by the man's name is Roy Sharp. It's called A Bag of Tools. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, a book of rules, and each must make, before life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Choose to be a stepping stone. Be the salt. Amen.